To sing in such a manner. Praise God. Let us turn this morning to a very familiar portion of your scripture in Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We will begin reading with verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. I want to speak this morning on the desires of the heart. As we read in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It is absolutely imperative that we have the right desires in our hearts, because men are motivated by desire. We have said over and over that God did not create us as robots. We have not just been programmed to do this or that. He created us as creatures of choice, and those creatures of choice will ultimately do what they want to do. This is why the desires of our hearts must be absolutely right, and when the desires of our hearts are right, God will fulfill them. He will indeed bring those things to pass. I want to notice a little outline of these verses before we go on. We're going to enlarge on these desires of the heart, as I've noted. But I want to see that verse 4 is actually a remedy for the difficulty that we see in verses 1 and 2. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, and don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. They'll be cut down. We could very easily become obsessed with the ungodliness and the wickedness of our day. We could become those who are just determined that everything is going to be punished and all of these things. And we could really be upset over a lot of things that are going on in this world. And many of us have often said, I just don't know how they can get away with it, but they do. Don't fret yourself. The remedy for that is for us to indeed delight in the Lord. This is where our strength lies. This is where our direction lies. This is where our path must follow. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Then I want to notice that this same verse has a glorious reward. It provides the path for reward. Notice what happens when we trust in the Lord or delight in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good in verse 3. You'll dwell in the land. This is so important for us to understand in our day and time. Yes, we are in the world, but we are not of it. We must take our place in that heavenly land. We can't do that if we don't delight in the Lord. Our strength, our power comes from above, and our desires must also come from above. Notice further, thou shalt be fed. Why? Because we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. God will feed us. Even though there is absolute famine across the world and the land, it doesn't have to apply to us. God has given us abundant sustenance. God has given us abundant provision to feed this new man. Thou shalt be fed. Verse 6, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in Him. He'll bring it to pass. That's because we delight in the Lord. Because our confidence, our faith, our trust is in Him. Verse 6 is marvelous. He'll bring forth your righteousness. In the midst of all of these things, if our hearts delight in the Lord, He will bring forth the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, in the midst of this ungodly background that we see in our world today. Your judgment, your decisions as the new day. Then he tells us simply, rest in the Lord. This is what we can expect when we delight ourselves indeed in the Lord. We read the word here, delight thyself also in the Lord. That word literally means to be pliable or soft. It shows forth full trust and surrender. It's very much akin to the same truth of the word trust that we see there in verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 5, trust also in Him. This is done because we are pliable in His hand. It is because we surrender in reverence, bow down in fear or reverence unto the Lord. But it is important that we learn that such trust is a learned experience. It's not something that just automatically happens. Perhaps easier for some than others, but nevertheless, every one of us must learn to delight ourselves in the Lord or put our trust in the Lord. Beautiful example of this truth is found in Ruth. This woman was a Moabitess. She was forbidden to come into the commonwealth of Israel. But divine grace found a way for her. And so she adopted the very God of Naomi, her mother-in-law, based simply on what that woman said. And Naomi is typical of those Old Testament scriptures. This woman, Ruth, was willing to take what she heard and to put her confidence in all of that. She eventually married Boaz. She was given a place in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ because she became the great-grandmother of David. But listen to what Boaz, listen to Boaz's testimony of her before this happened. Ruth is one who sets the example, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. A very unlikely woman, but notice what was in her heart. Boaz said, it's been fully showed me all that you've done unto your mother-in-law. She ministered to her. She believed her. She followed her direction. How thou hast left thy father and thy mother. You left the land of your nativity. You're come unto a people which you knew not before. A full reward be given to thee of the Lord, God of Israel. Notice these words, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And that's the same pattern for our lives. We come to trust the Lord. It is developed in us over period and process of time. And so we find that we must come to such trust and delight in the Lord. Then I want to notice the order of verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. The result of that is that he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Over the last few years, quite a number of years, many of us have heard about, the world has heard about, this modern-day prosperity message. They use statements like this, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. They use that somewhat as a blanket statement. There are those that teach, if you have enough faith, you can make God do anything you want him to do. And that is not a principle of Scripture. That is against God's word. And I want to notice how many of these scriptures that the prosperity message claim, they use them as blanket statements, but Scripture is qualified. For example, Matthew 17:20, we'll not turn there, but you remember it. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed to yonder place. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Those are true statements, but I want to notice that they are qualified when we begin to study and to understand the Scripture. John 14 says it this way, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then Jesus announced this in the 16th chapter of John when he told the disciples he would be going away. And this is a promise he said to them, in that day you shall ask me nothing, but whatsoever you ask in my name, he will give it you. And here is where I want to understand. We are not to use the name of Jesus as just a magical appendage to a prayer. Coming in the name of Jesus is coming to the Father as Jesus did. And Jesus came unto his Father, always submitting to the will of God. All of these promises are qualified according to the will of God. Romans 8:27 says it this way, he that searches the hearts. There are many reasons that he searches the hearts. We've seen before that he searches the heart in order to know what my need is, and then he can supply it. But in view of our text here in Psalm 37, I think he's searching for the heart that delights in him. Delight thyself also in the Lord. This is what he's searching for. And so he that searches the hearts, he knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And then notice this. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is how God answers prayer today, according to the will of God. I've talked to people who do not want to hear that, but I don't care. This is what Scripture said, and we must take God's word for the things that we allow and promote in our lives. And so we find out another one, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is the key to our lives today. And so we notice again, if our hearts delight in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our hearts. Do you know why? Because when our hearts delight in the Lord, his desires become our own. We are consumed with what God wants to do. And that's exactly what it was in the life of Jesus. And so this verse is absolutely true to the letter. delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you, freely give you, the desires of your heart. We also need to understand that God proves the desires of our hearts. You remember the story well from Genesis 22, how that God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son there in Mount Moriah. And after Abraham had laid that child on the altar, so to speak, and then the angel of the Lord interrupted him and said this, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, for now I know that thou fearest God." He is going to discover and find out what is in the depths of our hearts too. Do we really delight in the Lord? And when he knew that, "I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Job is another whose heart God tested. And after Satan came to God the first time and wanted to lay this affliction on Job, he took away all of his substance, and he took away all of his children, and then here Satan comes back to the well, and God entertained him again, so to speak. Here's what God said to Satan. "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. A perfect man, an upright man, one that fears God. He delights in God. He trusts in God. He is pliable in the hand of God." Then God said this, "And still he holds fast his integrity, although you moved me against him to destroy him without cause." God proved Job. And I guarantee you, he is going to prove our lives in exactly the same way. Do I delight in the Lord to the degree that God is looking for? I am sure there are many examples we could use from Scripture to demonstrate and illustrate this point. But I want to see this morning a man by the name of Caleb. We'll not turn there, but in Joshua 14:7, Caleb said this, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. And this is exactly what we must have, that delight in our own heart for the Lord, in order that he might give us those desires. This incident happened 45 years earlier. And I want to turn back to that time in the 13th chapter of Numbers, and let us see what was in the heart of Caleb at that time. Numbers 13, verse 7. That doesn't look right either. Let's go to chapter 14. Verse 6. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." This is 45 years earlier than the testimony we're going to see a little later here in Joshua. You remember that Moses sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan. This is before they would cross the Jordan River. Sent those spies in, they came back with a glowing report that it was indeed a land that was filled with milk and honey. But I want to see what was in Caleb's heart at that particular time. Verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. The reason they rent their clothes is because some were suggesting that we're not able to go in. We came all of this distance out of Egypt. God promised that he would lead us into the land, but we can't go. There are too many enemies. There are too many giants. We simply cannot do it. Verse 7, they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search is an exceeding good land. It's exactly the same land that God had told them before they ever left Egypt. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. What we see in the heart of Caleb is he is willing to accept the word and what he has already seen. God had promised them this land. He was ready and willing to lay hold of that promise. Verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, I'll guarantee you, if we delight in him, he will delight in us. If the Lord delight in us, then you will notice he will give us this land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land. He'll give it to us. You will notice again the little word give. This is true of all the blessings of God. I know there are people who think they have to earn them, to deserve them, to try to bend God around to where he owes them and all of this, but all of that is foolishness. What God gives to us is all of divine grace. The only thing we have to do is to believe him for it. He will give it to us. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. Verse 9. Only rebel not you against the Lord. You know, sometimes people might think that, well, if I don't lay hold of it, I just lose it. It's much more serious than that. When people do not lay hold of the depths of God's word, Scripture calls it rebellion. When men do not make every effort to reach out for these chosen treasures, which have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, God counts it rebellion. Yes, it's a serious charge. We must understand that. But we don't have to be guilty of it. When we lay hold of God's word, indeed, we are way past rebellion. But Caleb tells these people, rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear you the people. Don't look at the circumstance. Don't look at those people. Delight yourself in the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord. Put every trust we have in him. Then he says this, they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And what do we read in the New Testament? If God be for us, who can be against us? There must come a time when we really do believe that in our hearts, because God is going to test us to see if we really do delight in him to this degree. And so they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade them stone them with stones. We too must combat the unbelief and the rejection that is in this world. But I'll give you a clue. We must indeed, speaking only for ourselves, delight thyself also in the Lord. Be pliable in his hand. Let him mold us into what he wants in our lives, and simply trust and believe God. Let us turn to the 14th chapter of Joshua. This is another thing that you find about those things in the heart. When you have a revelation of truth, when you truly delight, when we truly delight ourselves in the Lord, it is a lasting thing. And so the account in Joshua 14 happens 45 years after what he went through in Numbers 13 and 14. And I want to again see what was in the heart of Caleb at this time. They are in the land of Canaan. And according to the numbers that we read here, they have been in the land for about 5 years. They have been conquering their enemies one after the other and putting them to flight exactly as God said that they would do. Now we have reached a place here where it is time for each of these tribes to take hold of their own inheritance. But there is a battle still here. And I'll guarantee you, when you and I begin to take our own inheritance personally, don't be surprised when you find a great battle. I was so disappointed in a young man a few years ago who came into the Bible school. And he was taking in the Word of God by leaps and bounds. I was thrilled with the way that he was partaking of the message. But one day he called me up. And he said, I won't be coming to church and I won't be attending the classes anymore. Because ever since I did that, I have had nothing but trouble. And now my girlfriend is going to leave me because of this. And so I'm giving it up for her. Well, again I say, God is going to test the delight that is in our heart. And I trust that God is going to win. And so we notice here, let's begin verse 7 of Joshua 14. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, once again, as it was in mine heart. And we can tell from his testimony that it is still there. And so he says, verse 8, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. Here's what was in the heart of Caleb then, and it still is. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Why? Because he delighted himself in the Lord. He was fully pliable in the hand of the Lord. He knew what it was to trust and to believe God, and indeed to bow before him in reverential fear. Verse 9, Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And again, we find this double testimony. Caleb had followed the Lord. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said. Again, a man who would believe what God said. And so he believed the word of God, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now I am this day 85 years old. verse 11, "And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me." I won't leave you under any illusion. I don't feel like I'm as strong this day as I was when I was 45 or 4. But I don't care. I'm still strengthened in the hand of the Lord. His strength is still for me. "As thy day, so shall thy strength be," says the scripture, and we continue to claim it. But you will notice this man. He's 85 years old. "I'm as strong this day," and by the way, I'm not 85. "I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now." Imagine an 85-year-old man for war, both to go out and to come in. God made time stand still for Caleb. What he had in his heart then is still remaining until this present time. Verse 12. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Caleb saw this mountain 45 years earlier. And so he says in verse 12, "Therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Caleb had had this mountain in his mind for 45 years, and now he's back. He calls it by the name of Hebron. Spiritually speaking, this is something we must have. The word Hebron means communion, and it speaks of that deep, innermost fellowship and communion with God. Caleb still wants it. This is why I say, when we desire the right things, I guarantee you God will give them to us. Caleb wanted such communion. I trust that that kind of desire, along with many, many others, are also in our hearts. And as we delight ourselves in the Lord, when His desires become our very own, we too can rest assured He will give thee the desires of thine heart.